desert, they would understand that there were some significant things that they needed to learn on the long road. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it's because God can see things that you can't see. Sometimes it's because God can see something down the track that you have an inability to perceive at that particular time. And this is the case in our reading today. You see, what God could see, which the people couldn't, was that by taking his people on the desert road, which was the longer route, he would be protecting them from a battle that they didn't need to fight. But he was also protecting them from their ability to make a really bad decision. In unknown and unfamiliar places, we have a propensity to make bad decisions. That was wrong with me to put that on you. In unfamiliar places and unfamiliar seasons, I often have a propensity to make bad decisions. What God could see, that by taking the people of Israel around the long road, he could protect them not just from battle, but he could protect them from their bad decisions. I mean, how well does God know his children? Don't you love what he says here? And I love that the Bible records that he said it, like, out loud. So I'm just, like, imagining God. He's, like, wherever he is, whatever he's doing. And he says out loud, if they face war, they might change their minds and go back to Egypt. And I love that he just sort of says that. Because what that reveals is that he knows his children so well to the extent that he's like, if they experience that, they're going to make this decision. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that decision out of their hands by taking them the long road. I love that about God. I love that he takes the decision out of their hands because he understands that they may make a bad decision about the direction of their future. He understood and knew the fragility of their situation. He didn't want them to face physical danger, but he didn't want them to make a bad call. So the longer road became the better road because it was a road of protection for them. For some of us today in this room, even, God is leading you around a battle that you don't need to face. He's leading you around something that you might not be able to see, but it involves the longer road. And some of you are sat here today on the longer road, wishing desperately that you were on the short road. Please, God, let's get to point B. But what you can't see is that God is doing more behind the scenes than you know. And for some of you, you're on the long road, and it's the desert road, and it feels hard, and it's not what you want, but God is moving even in the desert road. The other thing I want to say about the journey, God guiding us in the journey, is that let's also be aware that for the people of God, Helen and I were talking about this yesterday, for the people of God, as they allow God to guide them on the journey, miracles happened. Amazing things happened on the journey. Amazing things. Allowing God to guide us on the journey also exposes us to his supernatural activity. He can do amazing things on the journey. And many of us will be able to testify to that in the room today. So point number one is that God guides us in the journey. Point number two is that God guides us in the darkness. God guides us in the darkness. Something struck me yesterday as I was reading these verses that I hadn't really thought about in this way before, but it struck me. And it was the idea that the pillar of cloud that went by day, it went ahead of them to guide them on their way. And the pillar of fire went ahead of them to give them light. But why? Why did the pillar of fire give them light? It goes on to say it was so that they could travel by day, or they could travel by night. It never struck me in that way before. It's the idea that the people of God weren't just moving in the daytime. that actually God had set things up in such a way that they could also make progress at nighttime. It was so that they could travel at the nighttime as well as the daytime. There is, for me, an interesting and powerful symbolism here in the notion that the pillar of fire enabled them to travel at night. It would have been pitch black in the desert. They can't see anything. They can make no meaningful progress at nighttime in the pitch black because they don't have a clue where they're going. And God provides them with a light in the darkness to guide them on their way so that they can make progress at nighttime. So what does the nighttime represent to us? What's the nighttime? Well, obviously the nighttime is often a place of darkness, physically. It's a dark place. Sometimes, not all the time, it's a place of rest. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But also the nighttime is often a place of being stationary. Not for everyone, but the nighttime is often a place where you're stationary. You're not going anywhere often. Often. And this doesn't apply to everyone. This is often a stationary place. I find it so amazing that God enabled his people to journey through the nighttime, that they could take ground at nighttime, that they could gain momentum at nighttime, that they could make progress on their journey at nighttime, that they could actually take ground at nighttime in the darkness. I find that an amazing thing. You know what time the people of God moved through the Red Sea on dry land? Just a few verses later? Nighttime. I was reading that yesterday and I was like, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Like, God is driving back the sea with the wind all night. I think we often, because the films don't help us, but we often picture this moment with Moses and the stick, and he's like, boom, and the sea just goes, and this is brilliant actually, by the way, they all walk down the reds, the Bible says that God is driving that thing back all night. It's driving back all night, and the people are walking through on dry land, but it happens at nighttime. The miracle happens in the nighttime, in the darkness. The miracle happens in the dark, and they travel through in the dark. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to communicate that God is still working in the nighttime. I'm trying to say that even in the dark places that we face and in the darkness that potentially we have in our world right now, God is still working in the darkness. He's still working in the nighttime. It's his job to do so. He doesn't sleep. He works. He's always working, even in the nighttime. God is not afraid of the dark. God's not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of the darkness in the world right now that we face. He's not afraid of the darkness even that's in you right now. It doesn't scare him. Because he's working. He's working in the nighttime. So what does it look like for us as a community in an unfamiliar place, in an unfamiliar season, to let God guide us? Part of it for me is that we begin to foster a belief system that says God can still work in the nighttime. God can still work in the dark places. And he's doing it even right now. And not only does he want to move in you and me, he actually wants to use you and me to be beacons of light and beacons of hope in the dark places. Point number one, God guides us in the journey. Point number two, God guides us in the darkness. Point number three, God guides us in the opportunity. God guides us in the opportunity. I want to just flick to a different bit of scripture for a moment. I want to just read Romans 8 to you. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. That's absolutely fine. Romans 8, verse 14. And for the rest of our time, we don't have loads of time. Actually, we do have loads of time. We've got loads of time. For the rest of our time, I just want to get as practical as I can. Okay? I want to get as practical as we can. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. How do we as a community, in an unfamiliar season, in an unfamiliar place, allow God to guide us? Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Part of it is saying, yes, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead us as a community. God, lead us as a community. It's a big yes. That word there, where we read fear in those verses, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again, is a word that literally means to flee. It's all about the idea of flight. And what Paul is writing here is that you don't have the spirit of fear. You don't have the spirit that makes you flee from God. But actually, the spirit you receive has brought about your adoption to sonship. It draws you close to him. That's the spirit that you have within you. It doesn't push you away through fear. It draws you close to him. Now, we have so much fear and anxiety right now in our world. What does it look like for us to be guiding lights of God's presence in our world? It's to say yes to the spirit that we've received that draws us closer to God, that in turn can impact the people around us and our communities who can be drawn closer to God through you. You don't have the spirit of fear that pushes you away from God. You have the spirit you receive draws you close to him in your adoption to sonship. And by him, you can cry, Abba, Father. It's exactly what Emily was talking about her relationship with her Father in heaven. In some ways, it's annoying that the Israelites had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, because it's just so much easier, isn't it? I mean, it's like annoying, because they could literally see it. And not, if you ever get time to read Numbers chapter 9, I really encourage you to go read that, because it gives us a much more detailed and fascinating explanation about what happened when the cloud did its thing. Essentially, when the cloud departed, they packed up and went. And when the cloud stayed, they just stayed where they were. And the Bible says that sometimes they would say even for 2 days or maybe a month or maybe a year, if the cloud stayed where it was, they would just stay. Which to me maybe implies that there was a time where they stayed in one place for a year. I don't know. Can you imagine that? You're just waiting for this cloud to move. And don't know how long. Sometimes it's just like overnight. The cloud moves and you're like, okay, let's go. Being guided by God. It's like an exciting journey. But it's easier sometimes for them. It's like, you know, we don't have that. But we have the gift of intimacy that they didn't have. Because we have the Spirit that lives within us as a constant guide for our life. God is guiding you by the presence of his Spirit in you. And that is the gift of intimacy that the people of Israel didn't have at this point. It's an amazing gift that we have. How do we as a community, in a time of unfamiliarity, in an unfamiliar place, and an uncertain time, uncertain seasons, how are we guided by God in this place? The New Testament says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the fire of God's presence to the people around you. You are. It's you and me. It's amazing what's going on right now. It's amazing what's going on right now. There's so many things, so many people with fear so many places of anxiety, so many dark places in the hearts of people, which is not just related to coronavirus. It's going on all the time anyway. And we have an opportunity to be a hope to the people around us. Helena was saying to me yesterday, isn't it mad? It's crazy that Jessica, who's 8 years old, self-isolation is a term that's just normal to her. Isn't that crazy? It's just part of her world. And it's the isolation thing that gets me the most. People are being isolated right now. And it's so harmful. And I'm not going against, you know, all the regulations and safety for people. I'm not coming against that. But I'm saying that isolation is dangerous. And what can we do to help people in isolation? What can we do? Real practical. Helena's a part of this Nextdoor app thing. Anyone else part of Nextdoor? It's like a neighborhood thing. Yeah, a few people. I would encourage you. What's it called, love? Nextdoor neighbor. Even better. Nextdoor. Look at it on your phones. look at it on your phones. And see if there's a community around you, where you live, and other people are on that app. Because you could really be a blessing to those people around you through the app. Because there could be people on there who are actually on their own right now, and you could be someone who's communicating with them about what you could do. I heard on the radio today, this girl in Falmouth in Cornwall, you might have seen the article, who's designed this postcard to put through people's doors. On the postcard, it says things like, are you self-isolating right now? I am X person. This is my phone number. I could offer you shopping, a phone call, whatever it is. And she just pops it through their door and see what happens. Maybe you could do that. Maybe you could cook extra food just in case. I don't know what it is that you can do to be a hope to the world right now. But God is asking us to step up because he wants to guide us through the opportunity. He guides us in the journey and he guides us in the darkness. But he also guides us in the opportunity. And we have opportunity right now to be beacons of hope and light and the fire of God's presence to the people around us. How are we going to do that? Because God absolutely wants to meet you. He absolutely wants to change you and transform you. He absolutely wants to do all of those things. But he also wants to use you. He wants you to be in position to change the world around you. In a minute, we're going to pray together because I want us to intercede together corporately for what's going on in our world right now. And we're also going to just invite God to minister in whatever way he wants to this morning. And as I said right at the top, it seems crazy to say this, but we literally don't know if we'll be meeting here next week. So I want us to make the most of our opportunity. It's funny to think like that, isn't it? We don't often come to church with that mindset, do we? Like, let's make the most of this opportunity to be together. It's funny. But when that comes in front of you like that, actually, we might have the last opportunity we have for a whole bunch of time to be together like this. And we can just make the most of that now, not just to pray for each other, but to pray for the world around us and for God to equip us. We can go from here and begin to change people's lives. I really believe that. Do you believe that? Some people. Okay. Why don't we stand? I'm sorry, I was a little bit longer than I am usually. God is guiding his people. God is guiding his people. He's guiding you and he's guiding me and he's guiding us on the journey. He's guiding us in the darkness and he wants to guide us in the opportunity. And I don't know what resonates with you this morning, particularly in your heart. I don't know what that will be. Maybe you find yourself on the long road. You know, maybe you find yourself being frustrated on the long road. You wish you were on the short road, but you're not. And we want to pray for you this morning. Maybe it's in the darkness. Maybe it's actually things are feeling quite dark for you. And we want this to be a place of authenticity today as well. We don't want to hide behind it. Some of you in this room are going to be feeling worried and anxious and fearful about what's going on in our world right now. That's okay. We can bring that to God this morning. And some of you are literally just raring to get out of here because you're ready, because you want to make the most of your opportunity. You want to meet the people around you. You want to be a solution to someone's problem. And God's put some things on your heart, and it's time to say yes and to activate those things. There's a whole bunch of things we can pray for. And I want to start in those things because as we draw to a close, I want us to gather all together, back together corporately, so that we can begin to pray and intercede out loud all together for what's going on right now in our world. Does that make sense? Brilliant. Worship team, why don't you jump up, and we'll just take a moment just to pause. I encourage you just to posture yourself, however it is that you do to get before God, and that's different for everyone, but for some people it's helpful to move, to close your eyes, to get some space. I don't know what it is for you, but I encourage you just to come before God now in this moment. One of the things that we're not able to do at the moment is do prayer ministry by laying on of hands. That's one of our guidelines at the moment, which is absolutely fine. And you know, God can minister to us in multiple different ways. We don't need one way to do it. It happens in loads of different ways. And what I want to do now is just invite the presence of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to be active in this room and in your heart. And all I'm going to ask you to do initially is if for you this resonates in some way, and actually there's a sense of stoking the fire in your heart. God, stoke the fire in my heart. I'm going to ask you in a second just to place a hand in your heart, on your heart, to lay hands on yourself, and to invite the ministry of God just to do what it needs to do in you. And that would be the same for any other things that we've talked about this morning. So if that is for you, just do that now. Just place a hand on your heart, and then I can just see who we're praying for. And particularly, it is this idea of God stoking the fire in you. God stoking the fire. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in these moments now to begin to minister to your children. Thank you that you know us so well. We talked about that this morning already. You know where we're at. You know our fragility. You know where the weakness and the darkness is. You know where the passion is. You know us so well. And by the fire of your presence, God, would you stoke our hearts? Would you stoke our hearts today? Would you stoke the fire and the flames? I encourage you now, wherever you are, just to begin to pray for yourself to start with. Now, listen, we're not going to finish there. We're going to pray for everyone else in the world and all that stuff as well. But let's just start by just pray for yourself. Pray for the stoking of God's presence in you. Pray for the opportunities that you know are ahead of you. Maybe ask God for what the opportunities might be because you don't have any ideas yet. You know, he's so creative. But let's take a couple of minutes, and you can just pray for yourself. And then we'll move things on a little bit.